Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. The Red Cedar Report is a part of iSportsWeb.com. You know, be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter to listen to our archived podcast. Like next week, if you want, you can go back and listen to this one. And you can listen to our predictions for the game. So be sure to check out that.
Now, we have something very special going on here today.
Very, very special. Making his return to the show after a month. Standing at 5'9", 125 pounds, soaking wet from Traverse City, Michigan. He can only handle two beers in his Die Sports Web. Bad boy at Twitter, Ryan McCumber, is back after a month. Ryan, welcome back. How are you doing?
Oh, it's been a pretty awful 4 weeks, I'll tell you that. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but, man, it's been brutal.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've been kind of the outspoken voice, if you will. Now, I've got a question for you about your suspension. Look, we all kind of have an idea what it's for. It's for your behavior, and as journalists, it is understandable that why you did get suspended. But what is it like to know that you got suspended for a month and Vontaze Burfict didn't?
And Drew Sharp didn't get suspended either, so.
The good news is you're not facing a $75,000 fine, so, I mean.
This is true. I have basically nothing to my name.
Call me glass half full. But, okay, so you've been out for a month. Michigan State, 0-4 in that time span. I'm not going to go as far to say, hey, well, if Ryan wasn't suspended, you know, Michigan State would be 6-0, but you do have a month of venting to do. I know where you're going to start.
Oh,
and I think with William Likely and how explosive he is on special teams, I think it's fitting that we do start the show today with this topic. Go ahead, man. I know it's coming. Let Mark Snyder have it.
Oh, man. Mark Snyder is the worst special teams coordinator I have ever seen. He's brought literally nothing to this program. You know, I thought at least, you know, the guy, he's got Texas roots, so he'll help recruiting in Texas. He hasn't even done that. The guy is taking up a part on the – he's taking up a spot on the staff. He has done nothing. The special teams have been absolutely god-awful since he's gone to Michigan State. They get right back in the game against Northwestern last week. You know, they're 2 points down, and they give up a kick return for a touchdown. And they have 10 guys on the field on that play. This guy should have been fired after that kickoff return. He is the worst special teams coordinator I have ever seen. He is terrible.
Yeah, and the thing about his job is it's not just special teams. He is the linebacker coach as well. And you can say what you want about that. Riley Bulla is not having a good year this year. He inherited Darian Harris, John Reschke, Riley, Shane Jones, Andrew Dowell. Like, that's a solid group. I think I would look good coaching the linebackers if I had that type of talent at my disposal. And, look, I'm not the biggest fan of Snyder. I don't know what it is that Antonio sees in him. I know that there are some fans that you and me, we actually talked about last night. There are some fans that feel like, oh, well, it works for us because look at Rangers 4-10. But that's one play. How many touchdowns has this team given up? I don't think there was a stretch before Mark Snyder came here where Michigan State might not have broken anything explosive with the exception of a few punt returns from Keyshawn Martin. There was the L.J. Shelton kick return, I guess, against Penn State. But this wasn't the most dynamic group. And I feel like R.J. Shelton has kind of pulled back, has kind of been pulled back a little bit while Snyder's there. And at the same time, Michigan State is giving up big return after big return. I mean, everyone wants to talk. Like I said, the proponents of Snyder want to talk about Rangers, you go back to that game. Michigan State lost the field position battle because of special teams. And I don't know what it was before where Kevin Cronin was booting the ball out of the end zone, and now he has a hard time keeping the ball between the lines. So, look, I understand your frustration with Snyder, and I'm right there with you. Dave Warner has received the majority of the scrutiny this season and understandably so well. The offense is the offense is more or less, we'll say, 40% of the game defense, 40% of the game special teams, about 20%. I mean, you've really got to look at this as that 20% has hurt Michigan State, especially in these closer games where special teams used to be a point of pride for this party.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I wanted to bring up another thing. It's not related to Snyder or special teams, but how in the world did they recruit one offensive lineman for the 2013 class, and the one guy is Dennis Finley, and he's hurt. So I don't get how you can recruit one offensive lineman in a single class, in one class. I mean, this offensive line is just god-awful. There's just no way around it. And even Brian Allen, I thought that he'd be pretty good this year. He's not. He has not lived up to expectations.
I don't know if
team 5-7.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know how much weight this holds, given what I'm going to preface it with. Pat Elflein of Ohio State, Dan Feeney of Indiana. Both named two are all Big Ten team that we did prior to the season. Brian Allen somehow ended up as the only unanimous selection, even over Dan Feeney, which completely boggled my mind. But Brian Allen, yeah, he's not played well either, and it's just been a thing where, unless you're the head coach, if your name is Mark, you do need to shape something up. Mark Staton, the offensive line coach, the offensive line has had plenty of issues as well. And I mean, I don't know how much you attribute to the fact that three pros are gone. It's probably the most versatile guy in the country from last season, Donovan Clark, and then two All-Americans in Jack Allen and Jack Conklin. And so, I mean, I'm right there with you as far as that goes, too. Look, the offensive line, they need to get something together. Dennis Finley, not exactly hurt. I think right now what I've heard is it's more of a mental thing. Obviously, only the people in the program will know how accurate that statement is. But let's get back to our initial topic of conversation. William Likely is probably, I mean, for my money, look, he's as explosive as Jabril Peppers. On offense. All right, Jabril Peppers, good defender this year. I didn't agree with all the hype last year. On defense this year, absolutely killing it, leading the nation in tackles for loss up until last week. I'm not sure where he stands right now. But William Likely, as far as returners go, as far as him out of the backfield, just as explosive as Jabril Peppers is. And the special team does need to shape up against Maryland.
Absolutely. William Likely, is if he played at Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, big program, that guy would be getting a ton of publicity. He is one of the best players, in my opinion, at least one of the most explosive in the country. I mean, you can't have, especially this week, you can't have stupid mental errors like that are completely preventable, like putting 10 guys on the field on a kickoffer, on kickoff coverage. It just can't happen. I mean, this Maryland team is not good. They've gotten blown out by Minnesota and Penn State in their last two games, but it's at home. They're playing at night. I think Maryland's going to be fired up for this game. Everybody's out to get Michigan State this year. You might as well kick the defending Big Ten champs when they're down. And, you know, I just don't see the special teams improving. I don't see it. It's just god-awful. is the only way to describe it. I think likely might. I would. If I had to bet, I'd probably put him down for a touchdown return for on special teams.
Oh, I mean, I've got one, so take that as you will. But let's talk about the offense a little bit for Michigan State. We've not talked to you over the past month. In that time, man, there's been a lot of heat, a lot of debate with the quarterback situation in East Lansing. Mark D'Antonio, at the earliest, he's not going to announce the starter for the Maryland game until tomorrow. Obviously, it's a two-horse race right now. You look at Michigan State's depth chart, Tyler O'Connor or Brian Lewerke. And people know that I'm a proponent of Tyler O'Connor. I feel that he's more efficient. He controls the ball better. I don't want to hear about him holding the ball too long or whatever. We talked about how terrible the offensive line is already today. And so I really don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about the luck because, look, Connor Cook, the best quarterback we've ever had. At the same time, I'll say the luckiest quarterback I've ever seen with some of his throws. A lot of tips, deflections. I talked about it with Grant, actually, on Monday, the Illinois 99-yard drive that went to Benny Fowler. That Benny Fowler touchdown, that should have been picked. Michigan, he had a couple throws to Josiah Price that should have been picked. He's gotten away. Connor Cook got away with a lot. And so I don't understand these anti-O'Connor sentiments where, oh, well, he's just getting lucky. Go to Connor Cook, and he got lucky to a higher extent. Didn't throw as well as far as completion percentage goes, and had a much better offensive line, which helped him establish a running game. Like, Connor Cook had everything working for him. Connor Cook's the best quarterback we've ever had. Do not twist my words and say otherwise. But Tyler O'Connor, he doesn't have that working for him. And I thought he did pretty well trying to play catch-up with Northwestern.
I agree with you. But at this point, I mean, I understand that they're still fighting for a bowl. And if you go 5-7, they've got the APR that they might be able to get a bowl if they go 5-7, but Brian Lewerke is a starting quarterback of the future. And I thought that he looked all right on Saturday. Obviously, like D'Antonio said, the game caught up with him a little bit. He's only a redshirt freshman.
I don't remember what the numbers were, but after his touchdown, I think it was 15 plays, 21 yards. Or 21 plays and 15 yards. I don't remember what the numbers were. I got them inverted, but those are the two numbers, and either way, you slice it, it's not good.
Absolutely. This offensive line, like I've said, is just god-awful. It's probably might be the worst one in the conference. So it doesn't matter who you throw back there, in my opinion. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, if you throw Connor Cook back there, I think this team goes 5-7, 6-6. Because he's not going to get any protection. And I really don't think it makes much of a difference who you throw back there. And, I mean, Brian Lewerke is obviously the quarterback of the future at this point. That's the way it looks. I mean, I'm all for playing him. And I feel bad for Tyler O'Connor. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy is trying his best out there. He's giving it his all. And it's not his fault.
He's not playing poorly outside of the Wisconsin game. He's not playing poorly, and he waited his turn.
Yeah, and that's a guy you want to see succeed here. Because, like you said, he waited his turn. He stuck around when he could have transferred, and obviously it hasn't worked out. And that's really too bad. And a lot of it's not his fault. It's stuff that a quarterback can't prevent. But at this point, I think you got to play Lewerke and look forward next year.
Yeah, and Lewerke will play, but now the question is, does he start? Because how much are you saying you play Lewerke? Because you said that Michigan State, they are still fighting for bowl contention. This game is going to speak a lot as to whether or not this team goes 6-6 or 5-7 or, worse. Because They've already got 4 losses. They have Michigan and Ohio State. Let's assume those are 2 more. This is probably the toughest team remaining on the schedule from Michigan State outside of those 2. Do you start Lewerke and do you just roll with him, or do you play O'Connor? And then give Lewerke reps and get him ready for next year.
I think you got to play
because
them both.
Because both are going to play.
Yeah, you got to play them both. I don't think it matters who you start because both are going to play anyways. But, I mean,
I know, but if you start Lewerke, do you roll with him throughout the whole game?
I don't think you can do that. I think you've got to play O'Connor. I understand the point where you can't send a message to your seniors that you've given up on the season and it's, hey, you know, screw you. We're going to play the younger guy. You can't do that because what does that send to the guys that are freshmen and sophomores? And they're looking at, like, what the hell is going to happen to me when I'm a senior and if we're not playing well? You know, it just sends a bad message. I think if you start lower,
yeah, so
he's got to play
when, both. And look, I started thinking about this before you went on your rant, especially when name a better offensive player than Tyler O'Connor this year.
R.J. Shelton, maybe. Donnie Corley.
Maybe. Has he been getting open? Donnie Corley's had quite a few drops. One against Indiana that could have been a 97-yard touchdown that O'Connor put on the money. So I'm not. Corley can be, but he's not right now.
Gerald Holmes, when he gets some blocking, maybe.
Exactly, but the blocking is a huge part of that. What O'Connor has done with that offensive line in the lack of any running game that was even remotely similar to last season, I think what O'Connor's done has made him the best offensive player, and I think you've got to play him, and you've got to roll with him for at least 75% of the snaps. I understand getting Lewerke ready for next season, given the fact that Michigan State is hardly close to playing for any of their goals that they set, including the back-to-back one. But O'Connor, I think, has been the best offensive player, and you cannot have him sit for more than a quarter of this game if you want to win, especially given the fact Maryland's defense, look, it was aggressive last year. It took Connor Cook out. And it took him out in more ways than just the injury that he suffered against the Terrapins. O'Connor, he had some issues last year, but he is more experienced. He understands it more. And look, this is an aggressive defense. It's only going to get more aggressive when DJ Durkin smokes blood in the water in the form of a bad offensive line. And you really put a freshman back there who got rocked last week against Northwestern. And once he took that hit, things, the wheels fell off the offense.
I agree with you with the point that you got to play O'Connor at least more than half of the time. I mean, at this point, you and I both agree Damian Terry's never going to be the starter here. I know that. But
he gone.
I mean, he's not going to start. It's disappointing. He's been a bust. So as far as – I mean, I'd love for him to prove me wrong, but what does he show me that he's ever going to start here? I mean –
Nothing.
But it's Lewerke and O'Connor now, and it's Lewerke next year unless Messiah somehow beats him out. It's
unless Messiah ends up being the Messiah and saving this team.
you've got to play Lewerke at least a little bit because he's your quarterback of the future as of now, and. I've been on the Lewerke bandwagon since he committed here, which was like sometime in 2013, I think. So
yeah, you have been.
I think that he's, I've been a strong proponent of him leading playing time, but he's, I think that he's got potential to be one of the best quarterbacks MSU's ever had. So you've got to get him some snaps, but at the same time, you got to send this message to your seniors and everybody else on the team that, hey, you know, just because we haven't reached our goals, we're not going to sit all the older guys.
Yeah. And, look, I mean, you talked about Lewerke maybe being one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I'm right there with you. I've talked about it. I've beaten this horse to death. I think he has the best arm since Jeff Smoker or Tony Banks. As far as pure arm talent goes. Whether or not he puts it together is a completely different situation. But he's got that arm strength gives him an edge that look, Connor Cook, he wasn't the most polished passer when he took over. And Kirk Cousins was a little too risky when he started. And so I think Lewerke's arm strength kind of gives him an advantage over those two guys who are the two best quarterbacks in school history. Now, there's quarterback issues on the other side of the field for Maryland. When you look at Perry Hills, Perry Hills looks as day-to-day. He has been their starter. He will be their starter when he is healthy. He's listed as a starter on the depth chart, but, and I might be pronouncing his name wrong, Tyrell DeGromy got the start against Minnesota. And, well, long story short, he didn't look too good. Look, it's no surprise if Perry Hills starts, NSU is going to be in for a dogfight. What did you make of Pogromi against Minnesota?
To be honest, I didn't watch it. I haven't watched any of it, but it looked like he didn't play well. It looks like they got destroyed in the trenches. I mean, Minnesota is an okay team. I mean, they're middle of the pack, Big Ten team. But I can't really comment on that since I haven't had a chance to really watch the Maryland game from last week. But
looking, and here's the thing: Maryland has always has beaten down their competition. They've beaten down their competition when they're better than them. And this is a very well, DJ Durkin, obviously the defensive coordinator at Michigan last year under Jim Harbaugh. This is a very Michigan type team in that aspect. They will beat you down if they are better than you. If they are not, they're the team that gets blown out. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I agree with that. They
it's like Michigan last
Penn State, Minnesota. Yeah, like Michigan against Ohio State.
Right. And again, without the field position, I would say like Michigan against Michigan State. Michigan State outgained by 156 yards. They were a better team. So, but
yeah, I agree with you.
At that. There's a lot of pressure on this kid, and I think that this if the defense is going to take over. Look, if Perry Hills is the starter, I think the defense might be in a little bit of trouble. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. He's a solid quarterback, but he's not anything to write home about, which, then again, I said the same thing about Clayton Thorson last week, so we'll just leave that alone. But, look, Pogromi had a lot of he's got a lot of responsibility. 37 attempts against Minnesota. 25 carries. Now, three of them were sacks, but that means, what are we looking at? At 59 plays for Pogromi called for him. I'm not sure how much of it was read option.
That's probably about 60%.
Yeah, but that is a lot of pressure to put on a freshman. And I think that if Michigan State's defense is going to bounce back, it's against the team that's putting that much pressure on them. And let's talk about the defense, some defensive changes. They weren't on the depth chart last week. You saw them last week. They're on the depth chart this week. What do you make of them?
Who? You mean Raekwon Williams and everybody else who missed last week?
The whole Malik McDowell defensive end, Justin Lane at corner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That to me shows how how depleted MSU is at defensive back if you got a true freshman who was recruited as a wide receiver starting as a true freshman at corner. And I don't want to hear – let's get this out of the way.
Sidebar.
I've been saying this for a while.
Sidebar really quick. I think it's hilarious that he took Jermaine Edmondson's number, his playing time, and had a pick six in that first game. I just think that's absolutely hilarious. Some would call it a slap to the face.
I see what you did there. No, I didn't think about it
that way.
But – I don't want to hear anybody complain about Darian Hicks ever again.
Darian Hicks has been the best
Awful. They have been awful since he's been hurt. I do not want to hear anybody complain about him ever again.
He
how much
defensive back this
taken.
Season.
I would say
there's not been a better
again,
defensive back than Darian Hicks.
Nicholson maybe, but But, like, I understand, yes, you want, like, Justin Lane was recruited as a wide receiver, and Tyson Smith, Josh Butler, and Khalil Gaines cannot beat him out to start. What does that say?
Yeah. Well, Josh Butler listed as an or, potential starter for Vyonte Copeland, who has been, I think, by far the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, he has. And I think that we put unfair expectations on him. It's not fair to expect a guy who came back from a vertebrae fracture or whatever it was that he had. Yeah. It's not fair for us to think, oh, you know, after game and a half, you know, this guy is going to come back from his injury and he's going to be an All-American. That was not fair to him. I mean, he has not been good. There's no defending it. He has not been good. But the expectations that were put on him were not fair. And it's the same thing as Monte Nicholson last year. I put unfair expectations on him, and he didn't live up to it. And this year, I think that he's been solid. And you and I are going to disagree on Hicks being the best defensive back. I think he's been the second best one. I think Monte Nicholson's been the best one. But I understand moving Malik out to defensive end. You want to get more pass rush, which has been absolutely non-existent this year. You know, and I understand that.
Permanently putting Brandon Clemens at tackle helps shore up some of that depth at defensive tackle that you would be missing if Malik McDowell were to move in. Well, there was nothing there. You'd have a true freshman starting, so.
What sucks about moving Clemens back there is I thought that he was one of the few offensive linemen who was playing okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
Agreed? Yeah.
And that's the biggest issue. Cody Keeler's not been good. Machado's not been good. Brian Allen,
awful.
He's been all right, but he's not lived up to the hype this season. I don't want to talk about David Beadle.
Oh, God.
but we've got about 2.5 minutes left. Really quick, hit me with your prediction.
I've got Maryland winning 31-21, especially if Hill starts. I think that this team is – some of them are mailing it in at this point, which is unfortunate, but I see it. And I think the special teams are going to be a huge factor in this game, and obviously that does not favor Michigan State because their special teams are garbage. This is a must-win game, obviously. Basically, almost every game the rest of the year is a must-win, but – you have to win this game if you want to make a bowl. I don't see it happening. I see the offensive line getting destroyed again, and they go on their first 5-game losing streak since 1991.
Oh, yeah. If you predate John L. Smith with losing streaks, it's been a bad year. I think that actually you're predating Nick Saban with that one. But, yeah, this is going to be a close game. I think Michigan State, they understand that their special teams has been a point of failure over, since Mark Snyder took over. And I think that William Likely is going to end up breaking one. I don't know if offensively Maryland has the horses. I mean, you can say what you want. Maryland's going to bring the pressure. Like I said, DJ Durkin's going to smell blood in the water in regards to our offensive line. And so they're going to bring pressure. I think that might open up a big play or two for Corley or Shelton. And I think O'Connor has the ability to manage himself well in those situations. I don't know for sure if he does have happy takes off a little bit too soon from what I saw. It depends on Hills and O'Connor, whoever plays more. I think they're going to win that game. I think O'Connor is going to get the call because of his experience. He can handle the pressure a little bit better, despite what the average fan thinks. I think Michigan State has it for 24-20. But that does it for us today. Ryan, welcome back. Be sure to check us out next week for Michigan Week. Pretty solid lineup thus far. Kyle Rasmussen, former defensive lineman for Michigan State. Some of you may know him as Conrad Tanner from his WWE days. He's going to join us on Monday. Trevin Pendleton on Tuesday. And Tyler Topolinski, who was a member of the Cotton Bowl and Rose Bowl winning champion. Let's just say he wants to be a voice for the players when they can't fairly speak out on the public reaction. Hopefully more to come for Ryan McCumber. I'm Tyler.